serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, visiting today with 96-year-old Lou Goodman of San Luis Obispo, California. If you happen to be listening there on the Central Coast today on our affiliates KVEC or KSMA or one of the other stations within driving distance, I'm sure Lou would not mind at all if you stopped by the Spirit of San Luis restaurant there at the airport some Saturday morning to say hello. Spend just a few minutes with Lou and you can tell he loves people.
And I asked you about the guys you served with. There was another guy who spent some time in your bomb group on some of your planes who a lot of people would know his name and certainly recognize his face or his voice if they were watching Gone with the Wind or one of his many other films.
Clark Gable.
Clark Gable was in your bomb group for a while?
Yeah, he flew 5 missions as a photographer. He was putting the camera down on the target.
Uh-huh.
He flew 5 missions.
And, I mean, Gone with the Wind came out in 1939, so he's already a big Hollywood star. Everybody knows who he is.
They know who he was.
So he shows up on your base?
Yeah, I didn't see him. And he might not have been with my squadron.
Right.
But he was with my group. I never got to talk to him or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I know he flew 5 missions as a photographer.
And
we also had a very special airplane. The Memphis Belle came back to the United States and went on a bomb tour.
Right.
But it was a very popular airplane, the Memphis Belle.
Out of the 91st Bomb Group.
Out of the 91st Bomb Group.
How many different B-17s you think you flew in?
Oh, boy. I'd say 12. I don't know. We never flew the same plane twice. I told you that, right?
You know, on the wall in the Spirit of San Luis restaurant in San Luis Obispo at the airport, there are 2 pictures of crews that you were a part of.
2 different crews.
And 2 different B-17s.
Oh, yeah.
One has Margie.
Margie. I flew a lot of missions on Margie. But also through in the 909. You're forgetting about the 909. That was a very special airplane. The 909.
What made it special?
Because it always brought the guys back to their base.
Mm-hmm.
It never missed coming back. And the 909 went on a bond tour here where they brought it back. And here about, it's over there, I think, on my wall. I went over there and visited.
I saw that.
It was flying.
Uh-huh.
And I went through, you could walk through it. Are you ready for this? I walked through that 909 that I'd flown maybe 6 missions on. And it always brought us back to base. I walked through that airplane, and I hit my head and started bleeding. And I got off the airplane, and there's 2 guys standing there who were in charge of it. I said, I flew 6 missions on this airplane without a scratch. I come sightseeing, I get hurt. Funny story, huh?
What are the odds? And I know there's some other moments long after the war that we can talk about. But for you, as you're flying 2-3 missions a week, and it's getting deeper into the war.
Yeah.
Were you ready to go home? Did this wear on you? Was it hard?
I think you become immune. You take it a day at a time. You know, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So you live for today. Tomorrow we'll see what happens. I think I don't remember all the detail. But you couldn't dwell on it. You dwell on it, you'd go crazy.
When you know your 30th mission will qualify you to come home,
yeah.
Does that make that mission a little more anxiety-ridden?
Very important, because that's the one that could shoot you down, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's the 30th or the 1st, mm-hmm. those guys shooting at you don't know that.
That's right.
So,
would you guys have fighter escorts on your missions or not so much?
As far as we could.
Mm-hmm.
Then they couldn't go any farther because of fuel. Then as we came back, they would pick us up when they could.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, while we were flying out of it, enemy aircraft was shooting at us.
You know, again, most of the people listening have never had the experience of being in a B-17, much less getting shot at in a B-17, losing altitude in a B-17. What are some of the other things you remember about the time in the air in those bombers? What are the things that, when you look at a picture on the wall or you look at your crew, what are some of the memories that come back to mind for you?
You know, you put it behind you. You put it behind you. You don't dwell on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was there. It's gone. You're here. Don't dwell on it. I know how lucky I felt, how blessed I felt.
Did you ever get any updates on how your brothers were doing? Because they're both in this war, too.
No, not really. All I know is I had one brother with Patton, and the other brother was in the Merchant Marine.
And all three of you came home?
All three of us came home without a scratch. My mother lived behind my sister in a house, and my mother would go out in the garage and pray. And my sister said the whole neighborhood heard her praying for her three sons. But all three sons came back without a scratch.
Was she hanging the stars in the window, too?
Oh, I'm sure she did, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just, again, trying to imagine being in your shoes. Were there missions where you guys are flying in formation and you see one of the other planes in your formation shot down or blown up?
Not a very pleasant feeling. Because it could have been your plane. War is not good. War has some difficulties to deal with, but you do what you have to do. The main thing is you know you're doing something for your country, and that's important.
And not just our country, because your base is in England.
That's right.
I'm sure you got at least some taste of how brutal this war had been on the people of the United Kingdom.
When we got into the war, and that's the biggest mistake. The worst thing that ever happened to Hitler was when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, because we were not in the war. When they bombed Pearl Harbor, we came into the war. That was the worst thing that could ever have happened to Hitler. At that time, England was fighting a losing war. Germany was about ready to invade them, but they were flying flights trying to stop them during the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
We got into the war. We started flying daytime and let England start flying at night, which was a lot more safer for them. But the worst thing that happened in World War II to Hitler was when Pearl Harbor got bombed, because we were out of it. We were staying out of it.
Right.
That brought us in, and that made a big, big difference.
And when you were there at Bassingbourne, where is that in England?
About 60 miles out of London.
Did you ever go into London on a weekend?
Oh, yeah, quite often. You know, have a weekend off, I'd go in and live it up at the bars and things.
Did you see evidence of what people had been through there?
Oh, yes. You know, because they were bombing London with what they called V-bombs.
The V-1s, the buzz bombs?
Yeah, the buzz bombs. They were hitting around London all the time. So there again, you're taking your chance. You hope you're not where one of those things hit.
You know, I've heard so many guys tell me about that, and I can't imagine what that feels like, that at any moment this thing could just stop and fall out of the sky.
Yeah.
And you're a goner.
You're gone.
Yeah.
That's how short life is.
Did you get a sense for what your presence, what the effort of American armed forces meant to the people of England?
They appreciated us. Mm-hmm. They appreciated us. Yes, they did. We weren't unwelcome. We were welcomed.
Just in an effort to help us understand what it's like. To help us realize the price that was paid for our freedom, so we don't take it for granted. Was there a moment that you look back on, an experience that you look back on, and you say, you know, that was the most frightening or alarming or hair-raising, the closest call that I ever had?
I had too many of those. Almost every mission was an experience and a hazardous. So to say one mission more than the other, I think the worst one was the one when we didn't know where we were going to get over the cliffs of Dover. That's probably the worst one. But I had other ones, too. No mission was easy. No mission was easy.
So when you touched down at the end of that 30th mission, what did that feel like?
I know I was probably elated. I know it was over, and it was a good feeling. I've flown 30 missions. Okay. And now I'm headed for home if I want to go.
Were you back in the States already for VE Day?
Yes, yes, I was back. I was still in the service. Mm-hmm. When I got married, I was still officially in the service.
And when did you get married?
I got married in June. I got in June.
So right after VE Day.
Yeah, I was getting married in June, and I didn't officially get out to October. But they sent me to Midland, and I was doing some pilot training, too, there. At Midland.
So you survived 30 missions.
Oh, yeah.
You come home.
Yeah.
You get married.
Yeah.
What was it like to see her again?
I was in Los Angeles, and she was in Texas. And she did. She waited a while before she came to join me to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
And you said she'd been writing you letters.
Oh yeah, we wrote regularly. Yeah.
Did you have a picture of her there with you in England?
Oh yeah, I had my picture of her. I carried it with me.
Even on your flights.
Yeah. Oh, and I'll tell you something else. Maybe it's kind of interesting. My mother dedicated 91st Psalms to my safety in the Bible. 91st Psalms. We read that sometime. And she had it printed up and sent it to me that I could fold into my flight jacket, and that 91st Psalms flew with me during the war.
That's a pretty appropriate passage.
Yes. Yes, it is. And she had it printed up, and I put it in my flying jacket. It went with me. I had a 45 and the 91st Psalms with me.
Well, and I could pull it up and read a number of translations, but do you want to paraphrase for our listeners what the gist of the 91st Psalm is?
The 91st Psalm, basically, is they may fall by your right side and they may fall by your left side, but the Lord is going to protect you. That's basically it.
Mm-hmm.
They may fall by the right side, they may fall by the left side, but harm will not come to you.
I think it even says 1,000 may fall at your left and 10,000 on your right.
Exactly. You've read that, Palms. You know that.
And you're not the first veteran to share that there was some meaning there for
him. Is that right? Okay.
But I think you are the first who told me you had it in your flight suit.
I had it in my flight jacket, yeah. My mother sent that to me.
Was that kind of more of a good luck charm, knowing it was there, or something you would actually pull out and look at occasionally?
I would reach out and touch it and pat it, you know. Pat it and say, because I was depending on it. My mother sent it to me. My mother believed in it. I believed in it, and it got me through.
Hmm.
So, but it's the little things like that, you know, that I forget now until you bring it up, and then I remember. Yeah, that 91st Psalms. I had that in my flying jacket, you know.
How about that?
Yeah.
You happen to be in the 91st Bomb Group, too.
That's quite a coincidence, huh?
So you made it home to marry Paula Jean. I saw your wedding photo. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
How long were you guys married?
65 years, 4 months, and 10 days when she died. 65 years, 4 months, 10 days, and 6 hours. If she was still alive today, we would have been married 75 years.
What was your secret for staying married that long?
We loved each other. She deserved better than me, but we loved each other. She put up with me.
Two sons, three grandkids, 10 great-grandkids.
Yeah, quite a family, huh?
A lot of people that wouldn't be here if you didn't make it home from all those 30 missions.
I thought about that, yeah. My wife might have probably married somebody else. My two sons would not have been my two sons. They probably would have had different kind of kids. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know? Those just little things like that that makes quite a difference in life. Yeah, it makes quite a difference in life.
And so when you came home, you did, though, you had a choice to make. You could choose to stay in the Army Air Corps?
They gave me an option. Do you want to go to pilot school and become the second guy that has a triple rating? And I said, no, I want to get out.
Explain to us.
I don't want to go to pilot school.
When you say a triple rating, that means bombardier, navigator, and pilot?
Yeah, right. One guy had that rating.
And you could have pursued being the second, but the choice as you saw it was become a pilot or get married.
Yeah, if I had said I want to be a pilot, it means I was making a career out of the military. I thought about it a lot of times, and sometimes I wish now I had signed up and stayed in the military.
You know, I mentioned to people early on, if they want to find you on a Saturday morning, they know where to go.
Yeah.
Spirit of San Luis Restaurant, where there's aviation art all over the place and a picture of a couple of your B-17 crews on the wall.
Yeah, Marshall found me that way.
He sure did, and he told me about you. Where did that come from? How did you end up going there for breakfast every Saturday morning, and who do you have with you? What's that all about?
We started out in the Village Cafe, in the Villages in Arroyo Grande, and they heard us praying, some of us that were there, and they asked questions about it. We invited them to church, and they came. We started a Saturday morning breakfast for those people, and then that went on for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, maybe more. Then I couldn't drive, I couldn't see. So they said, we're changing the Saturday morning breakfast closer to you. So they moved it to here. They did that, my kids did.
Why do you do that? Why is that important to you?
Because I'm serving the Lord. If I bring people to him, for their salvation, I'm serving the Lord. That's the way I see it. So that's why I'm still here. People offer to pay for breakfast. I won't let them. This is what I do for the Lord, mm-hmm. my breakfast. It works. I've had as many as 13 people there.
I don't know if this is an easy question to answer, but I think it's an important one for us to consider. You're 96 years old.
Yeah, closer to 97 now.
That's a lot of life to look back on.
Oh, yeah.
But when you look back, is there something that you would say you're most proud of?
I'm very proud of my military service. I'm very proud of my two sons. My wife did a wonderful job raising them. I have a lot of regrets. I made a lot of mistakes in my life. But I think God has left me here because I needed time to get straight with him. I think if I had died when my wife died, I wouldn't have gone to heaven. I think God has left me here, and maybe because of my mother's prayers, so I could get right, and I'm right with him. I know I'm right with him. I have no worry about dying. I'm ready to go whenever he wants me. Matter of fact, I wanted to take me one time, and he wouldn't do it. You know.
What is it that keeps you going now?
I think the love of people. I am loved. I am loved by so many people. You know, and what I say when I pray, Lord, let me do something for you today. You've been so good to me. Let me do something for you.
And you told me something earlier as far as what keeps you going today. You've been thinking a lot about one of your sons.
Yeah.
He's battling cancer right now?
Yeah. He's on chemo. And my deal of asking the Lord, let me stay here to see that he's okay. So I hope he does. Now I'm going to tell you something. The most important verse in the entire Bible, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To me, that's the most important verse in the entire Bible. And when I pray, I always end the prayer with that. I always end with Romans 10:13.
I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us this story.
My pleasure.
And I know you've told your story to high school kids.
Yeah, oh yeah.
For many years, you do that here on the Central Coast.
Yeah.
And in one circumstance, you became connected with someone whose relative had been firing at you in Berlin?
Yes, some kid. His grandfather did. He was on a flak gun in Berlin.
So you get done talking, and he shares that with you?
Yeah. You know, he brings that up. He said, my grandfather was on the flak gun and protecting Berlin. And I said at the time, well, I'm glad it was such a lousy shot because I made it back. Then I looked at my diary, and I said, wait a minute. Only 7 of 12 in my squadron got back, so I guess he was better shot than I thought. So we had a little laugh about it, you know.
So you said he's a lousy shot, then you realize they actually shot 5 planes down that day.
If only 7 out of 12 got back, he must have been a pretty good shot, if somebody was, huh?
Mm-hmm. For those of us who didn't live through World War II, what do you think is important for us to know about you and all the guys you served with and all the people back home who produced that victory? Why does that still matter today?
They should know that when it comes to a showdown, it's important that American people take a stand and fight for their country. It's important that we never forget. We have to protect what we have because there are people out there that will take it away from us. We have to protect our country. We need to go back to being a nation under God. We have slipped a lot, and I hope that we're getting back that way. 19 years ago, 9/11. We had turned away from God. That brought us back. We need to get back to that. We need to start praying. We need to belong to God because eternity is forever. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. I know where I'd like to spend it, and I hope I'm all right. But it's something that people forget about. I don't pass this opportunity up to let people know I believe in God.
And he's made that clear today, hasn't he? Lou Goodman, 96 years old, a decorated bombardier in World War II who is still finding a way to make a difference. Don't forget to check out the photos and a short video of Lou at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. And join us again next time when we're reminded again through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.